Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. We'll read verses 18 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Philippians, chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Philippians 2, verses 18 through 23. For the same cause also do ye joy, and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us. Holy Spirit of God, we stand before you a needy people, a sinful people. And Lord, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit here to convict, to comfort, to uplift, to purge, and to change us. The Holy Spirit, please do the work that only you can with the multitude here. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'd like to talk with you about one of the topics that seem to steal our security in life. I will try to help us, if I could. We'll face a reality, and that reality, if we will lock into the truth of today, we're going to have a far better today, and we'll have a better tomorrow as well. You say, well, Brother Owens, what topic could we discuss that seems to steal our security? Well, the topic is the future. The future. Somehow, we fear the future. And I would like to help us with that if I could. By the way, Mrs. Gillum, I'm glad to see you this morning. Audra Gillum down here, and first time back, had the bypass surgery, and we're glad you're here today. Thank you so much. It's a miracle, but God has been good to you, so thank you for being here this morning. The future. That's the subject of the sermon today, the future. Here, we read earlier from Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the people at Philippi. Paul was in jail at the time that he was writing. He is expressing to, or his interest in the people in Philippi. He tells them that he loves them in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. He then reminds them of Jesus and that how Jesus should be exalted and how important Jesus is. He reminds them of that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He then tells him, now you stay unified for the cause of Christ. Work together. He tells him that in Philippians 2, verse number 14. He then says, I'm going to send to those of you at Philippi, I'll send to you Timothy. And Timothy will come and help you. He talks about that in Philippians 2, 19. He said, I'm going to try to send Timothy to you to help you and to meet your needs. Now remembering, Paul's in jail. He's writing to a group of people that he loves. He reminds them of the importance of Christ. He says, now you all stick together. I'm going to try to get Timothy sent to you so he can help you with your spiritual needs. And then Paul says something, and if you're not watching for it, you would miss it. But Paul says something, and he kind of reveals his humanity in a very unique way. Remember, he's in jail, loving some people that are on the outside. And he says, in Philippians 2:23, he says, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Those words, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Oh, Paul was busy wanting to help the church at Philippi. He wanted to help the Christians at Philippi. He wanted to meet their needs. He wanted things to go well for them. He was going to try to arrange for a preacher to go and help them. But you see, tucked in here, Paul is a little concerned about his future. Because he said, so soon as I shall see, what's going to happen to me? Remember, he's in jail. He was in jail for the cause of Christ. And you see that humanity pop up there as Paul is saying, I kind of just don't know what tomorrow holds for me. Paul is saying, I'm not real sure how the future is going to go for me. Paul shows concern about his future. Paul had concern about his tomorrow. Boy, that's common. We all tend to be concerned about tomorrow, the future. I would like it if you'd allow me to examine that subject today. The subject of tomorrow. The subject of the future. The subject of the unknown. And one reason why, folks, tomorrow has this uncanny ability to affect our today in both positive and negative ways. But I really would hate to see tomorrow destroy our today because we know we have today. We're not real sure about tomorrow. Oh, this thing of the future. There are people that make predictions about what will the future hold. For instance, I was looking up some of the scientific predictions about the future. Listen to some of them. They say in 2020, you will be able to buy an over-the-counter ticket to go to the moon. It's like you go down to the bus station and get a ticket to go somewhere in America. They say in 2070, we'll go down to a 4-day work week to save energy. Some of you, that's all you put in now, and you're saving your energy. They say in year 2150, they say that we will be experiencing what they call robot warfare. Then they say in year 2040, they say that 40% of the Americans that can live to 65 will have a chance of living to the age 100 because of advanced technology and health care. They say in 2025, we will see the first cloned human being. They say in 2010, they will have what they call books on demand. What they'll do is they're going to start phasing out the printing of books, and you'll go to a bookstore and tell them what you want, and they'll just print it right there and hand it to you because of the way the technology will be. They say in 2030, the computers will be 500,000 times stronger than what they are now. They say in 2030, hydrogen-powered cars will become common, and in 2020, solar power will become very, very much so used. But you know something? I have to tell you something about the predictions of the future. They are just predictions. They're just predictions. I went back into history. Now, there are some that are predict certain things for the future, and we examined those today. But then I look back. There are some in history that made some predictions. For instance, a man by the name of Dr. Lee DeForest, he was the inventor of the TV, the television. He said this: man will never reach the moon regardless of all future scientific advances. I guess he was wrong. Here's another. Thomas Watson, who was the chairman of IBM in 1943, said, I think there's a world market for maybe 5 computers. He was off just a little. Robert Millikan, Nobel Prize winner of physics in 1923, said this: there is no likelihood that man can ever tap the power of the atom. And that's happened in a big way. The Western Union Company issued a memo to its employees in 1876, and it said this: this telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us. That reminds me, if you have your cell phone on, don't let it go off during the service or you have to buy me a pizza, okay? Don't forget that. Here's another. Pierre Pachet, I think is his name, professor of psychology at Toulouse University in 1872, said this about Louis Pasteur. He said, Louis Pasteur's theory of germs is ridiculous and fictional and will aid no one. Well, you see these predictions about the future, and the future, it interests us. You see some that predict what will happen to our futures, and we are now in the future of some from the past. But somehow, the future has this ability to rob us of our securities. And if I could, I want to talk to you about that subject, the future. The future. Now, let's start out by saying this. Number one, we don't know most of our future. Now, I said most. There's some of our future we can know, but most of our future we do not know. The Bible says in James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We don't know most of our future. Now, folks, I want you to listen to what I say. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We use that verse trying to keep ourselves from being worldly, but there's a little more to it than that. The Bible's saying, don't get too attached to the things on this world, because they're not going to be around for long. The word world in that verse is a word cosmos. It's talking about the world makeup. God's telling us, be careful getting too attached to the things on this world, because they're not as important and they're not as predictable as what you might think. And I say to you this morning, we don't know most of our future. For instance, we don't know the future in regard to our possessions, things, monetary things. You know, that car that you worship right now may blow up next week. You just don't know. Some of you that have been around a little while, you remember that car you just had to have, and you fussed with your dad and fussed with your mom and you got it. You woke up in the morning and you polished it and you cleaned it and you wouldn't let anybody eat French fries in the back seat of that thing because that was your baby. And that was 15 cars ago. And that car didn't have as much of a future as what you thought it would. Or maybe, hey, listen, we don't know. We don't know the future of our possessions. Maybe that current home that you live in, let me tell you something, there's a good chance you may not live in that home. Now, I'm not saying you will. I'm not saying that you won't. But if we took everybody here that was old in their 30s and 40s and say, how many of you are living in the first home that you purchased? Most would say, no, back then that was your dream home, and now it's just a nightmare from the past. Because you don't know your future and the future of your possessions. Your favorite clothes may or may not fit next year, week, or tomorrow morning when you wake up and try them. You know what I mean? I gotta have it, I gotta have it, I gotta have it. Now you've got it. And then that was in the past. Now we're looking to the future for some new things. Your retirement program may be blessed or may be cursed in the future. I don't know. You say, well, mine is secure with my company. I hope so, but your greatest security is going to come from your God, who provides the greatest retirement program for Christians. You can't find better security than just being right with God. But I say to you, we don't know our future. We don't know our future in regard to our possessions. Here today, gone tomorrow, and you've all, if you've lived any life at all, you begin to realize that. We don't know our future in regard to our families. Where will they live? Who will they marry? Will they have children? Will you see them again? Who will not be at the next Christmas celebration, and how many new members of the family will be there? You don't know. We don't know our futures. We don't know the future in regard to our health. There are some in here, you are very, very healthy today. But those that are very healthy may end up becoming very ill. There are some of you in here, you say, but Owens, I'm very ill, and I have struggled with my health over and over again. You may end up being the very, very healthy. Will you be physically weak? Will you be physically strong? Will you be cured? Or will you need to be cured? I don't know. That's the future. Because I can't tell you the future in regard to your possessions. And I can't tell you the future in regard to your family. And I can't tell you the future in regard to your health. We don't know the future in regard to our burdens. Burdens will change. Heartaches may change. Hey, that is a burden now may become the greatest blessing of your life. And that which is the greatest blessing of your life somehow may become the greatest burden. I don't know. How big will your burden be? But wait, will that huge burden be minimized and taken away? I don't know. I can't tell you the future of your burdens.
I can't tell you, and you can't predict the future of your joys. Will your ship come in? Will your joy-filled dreams come true? Maybe the bird of paradise will fly up your nose. I don't know where I got that, but I wrote it down. Hey, some here who are super sad may find yourself in the future super glad. Your future may hold that, but I can't tell you, nor can you tell yourself. We don't know the future in regard to the length of our lives. You may not have 10 years. You may not have 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I don't know how many years you have. You may not have a month. You may not have a week. This may be your last day, but yet, you could have a day. You could have a week. You could have a month. You could have a year. You could have 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. Again, they predict that anybody in about the next 20 to 30 years, anybody that can make it to 65 has a 40% chance of making it to the age of 100. I don't know. I can't tell you that because we can't predict the longevity of our life. We can't predict the future of how we will die. Will we die in our sleep? A couple of you may today if you don't wake up and pay attention in church. Will we die of old age? Will we die in pain? Will we die while hunting or being hunted by your wife for going hunting? Will we pass away at the hospital or in our home? Will we pass away in a time of ease or great struggle? Will it be an accident? Will we be slain? I don't know. But folks, we've got to face something. We do not know most of our future. We don't know most of our future. But then let me say this to you. Number two, there are some reasons why God may have chosen not to tell us the future. It's obvious we don't know it. It's obvious that much of the future is not made available to our human minds. So there must be a reason why. The Bible says in 1 John 3:20, it says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things." Only God knows all about the future. Only God. And for some reason then, folks, God has limited you and God has limited me. We look at this thing called the future, and the future scares us, and the future affects us in a restraining fashion. But there's got to be a reason why God did not tell us all about the future. Let me give you a couple reasons why I think God may have kept from us this ability to know what tomorrow holds and what next week and next month and next year holds. There's some reasons why. For instance, maybe it is because that's how God wanted it. You know, I always want us as Christians to remember we need to let God be God. Let God be God. He is God. He wanted to be the one who could see the future. He wanted to be the one that could look and see what tomorrow holds and next week and the year after that. But folks, in your life, always remember, you've got to let God be God. You've got to let God do what God does best. And somehow, we get this idea that God, we should be able to require God to tell us all about it. God does not have to tell us all about it. We've got to realize that God is God. And for some reason, He has chosen not to let us see most of the future. Maybe that's because He sees how poorly we deal with our knowledge of the past. We don't always do real good with the past. God didn't intend for the past to destroy you. He intended for it to make you and train you and improve you. Who maybe God said, boy, yet they have a hard time handling the past. I don't know how they're going to handle the future. But He cannot necessarily hide the past from us because we have experienced it. But let me say, maybe one of the reasons that we don't know the future and God chose not to show us the future is because God just wanted to be God. And that is a God quality, knowing the future. So you say, I don't know the future. That's all right. The rest of us don't know the future either. But you can be glad. God knows the future. He reserved that for God. Secondly, maybe it is that God looked down and loves us so much that He knew that if we knew the future, our future burdens would steal from us our present joys. Our future burdens would work on us, and they would steal from us our present joys. You see, we could be robbed of today's happiness in fear of tomorrow's sufferings. Isn't God good? Isn't God good to us the way He protected us? You say, I've just got to know what's tomorrow. What you better know is just what God's done for you today. God is trying to say, folks, our minds, we're frail. Come on, human race, admit to it. We're frail. We're frail and we get scared and we have weaknesses. I think God knew that, and God said, I can't show you all about the future, because if I tell you about tomorrow, you're not going to enjoy today like you could enjoy today. God loves us and wants today's joys to make it good for us today. Stop and realize, hey, if you'll just stop for a moment and realize what Jesus Christ went through. Remember, Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years. Now, He is heading toward the cross. He's heading toward Golgotha. He's heading toward the beating that He would take in the crucifixion. He's heading toward His betrayal. You remember Him praying, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. You remember Him praying, and He prayed, there was sweat and great drops of blood. You see, that was the God-man, and Him being the God-man could look into the future. He knew what He was about to go through on the cross of Calvary. And though He bore the burden of Calvary, He was bearing it in His mind before they ever drove the first nail in His hands. The New Testament mentions the eternal sufferings of Christ. That which happened on Calvary, Jesus knew about it from the very moment He was born into a body of flesh. He knew the pain that He'd go through. And if the Son of God, right before He was crucified for me and you, knowing what was on tomorrow, said, oh God, part of me doesn't want to have to go through this. Hey, if He could come so close to the pain and the agony, and I know He could bear it, but He was the God-man, He said, I really don't want to go through that. If the Son of Man could suffer like that, knowing what tomorrow holds, don't you think God was good to you and I by saying, I want you to go ahead and enjoy today, because if there's a heartache tomorrow, you're going to need the strength of today's joy to make it through tomorrow. But if I tell you today, tomorrow's burden, you might crumble and not enjoy today. Your God's good to you. He's good to you. You see, if we knew future burdens, this would affect our present joys. And folks, God wants you to enjoy today. Go ahead and enjoy today. You say, but Brother Owens, I've got a burden right now. I'm not enjoying today. If I were you, I would take a look at your burden and realize it could get worse. It could get worse. So whatever level that burden is, I promise you, your God's been merciful and kind. You better stop for a moment, even if you do bear a burden today, and say, oh God, thank You for the level of burden You've given me. There are others that face worse. Why in the world would God not tell us the future? Well, He may not tell us the future because He reserved that for God. He may not tell us the future because He felt like our future burdens would then affect our present joys. But then thirdly, maybe God didn't tell us our future because we are to live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, by faith. Faith is the very foundation of the belief of the Christian. God said that which is not of faith is sin. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We are to live by our faith in God. We were saved by faith, and God said, now, you go and you live your life by faith. I remember the patriarch of the faith, Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Robertson would get up to preach. You just didn't find him preaching these deep philosophical type of sermons. He kind of put it right down where the common man could understand exactly what he was saying. I mean, he just made it so you could understand, and his outlines when he preached were so simplistic, but yet so deep and powerful. And I can remember Dr. Lee Robertson standing up, and his old fingers were just all crippled up. I've seen his fingers like this, and he'd go to try to point at the crowd with a straight index finger, but his bones were crippled up from arthritis, and I can still hear him saying this. He'd stand in the pulpit, and he'd say, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. May I say to this mighty congregation of people today, you say, about the future, Brother Owens, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Suppose I don't know the future. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For those I don't know if I can take the burden of tomorrow, have faith in God. So, Brother Owens, I'm scared of what may happen this week. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, young man. Have faith in God, young lady. Have faith in God, senior citizen. Have faith in God, one that's sick. Hey, have faith in God. Those that don't have enough money to pay the rent, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Maybe God didn't tell us the future because God wanted to be God. But wait, maybe God didn't tell us the future because He knew tomorrow's pains may rob us of today's victory. But maybe God didn't tell us the future because God just wanted us to have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hey, maybe there's another reason why God did not tell us the future. Maybe there's another reason why we can't predict the future. Maybe it is if we knew God's plan for our future, then we would try to tamper with it and change it. You know, it's our job to let God direct our lives. We sing one day at a time. We're to let Him lead us, guide us, and direct us. Man struggles in this thing of allowing God to lead him. I think one of the reasons why God does not show us all of the future is because man has this tendency to get arrogant and proud. And man becomes self-centered and conceited, and man begins to think that man knows what's best for man. If you don't believe it, you look at the story of Cain and Abel. Both were to bring a sacrifice to God, and God had said, I'll tell you what the sacrifice is. The sacrifice is to be a sacrifice of blood that will help us to look forward to the day that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, will come and shed His blood. God said, I want you to come to me and bring a sacrifice of blood. Abel said, I'll do exactly what you want me to do, God. Cain said, I'll do it my way. And Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. What had happened? God was trying to tell Cain how to live his life today. But Cain said, I'll do it my way. I think one of the reasons why God does not let us know all about the future, I think if God told you the exact plan that He has for your life, there are people in this room, you would try to change that plan and tamper with that plan, and you wouldn't follow that plan. So God said, I'm going to require you to walk with me one day at a time, and that way I can keep you on track. That way I can keep you on the path, because you have an arrogance, you have a pride about you that would cause you not to want to do what I want you to do. You say, I don't believe that. He can't get you to do what He wants you to do with the one day He has revealed to you. What in the world? How in the world can He trust you to give you the whole plan and expect you to follow it? So I wonder why we do not know the future. Maybe we don't know the future because God chose that just be the responsibility of God. Maybe we don't know the future because our present joys might be dampened by some future suffering that's on the horizon. Maybe we don't know the future because we are to live by faith, not by sight. Maybe we don't know the future because God has, if He planned that future and told it to us, we begin to tamper with it. We'd want to change it. But maybe this. Maybe God does not tell us our future because tomorrow's fears may rob us of today's victories. Fear paralyzes. Fear paralyzes and we don't move and we don't do what we should. And if God had something on the horizon for you and it was fearful, it may paralyze you today from winning a victory that you should have won today because of your fear of what you would face tomorrow. We need to win today's victories today. There's somebody in this room, you'll miss the sermon that I'm giving you today because your mind is preoccupied with what's going to happen tomorrow. You fear what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You fear what's going to happen to work. You fear what's going to unfold tomorrow. You will miss a victory that God had for you today because you were worried about tomorrow, and tomorrow's fear is paralyzing the victory of your today. You just take the story of David. Take the story of David. David went out to fight that great big goon called Goliath. Now, I don't know what all David has thought about, but I can tell you this. David, when he reached down, he picked up 5 stones to fight Goliath with. David was able to defeat Goliath with 1 stone. I am very, very glad that David did not know for sure what was on the horizon, because I can tell you something. Maybe David knew it, maybe David didn't, but you know, Goliath was probably 9 foot 9 inches tall minimum. David was an older teenager, a very young man at the least. David goes out to fight Goliath. He picks up 5 stones to put a stone in a sling to throw it at a giant. He defeats that giant. I don't know for sure if David would have really tore into the giant had he known that Goliath had 4 brothers that ate from the same trough Goliath did growing up. Would David have said, if I go after that guy, his 4 brothers will come after me? I don't know. I don't know, but I can tell you this, there is the potential that if God told you tomorrow, some of the things that are going to happen to you tomorrow would keep you from doing for God what you ought to do for God today, because tomorrow would paralyze your today and you wouldn't even get the victories out of today. Let's win today's victories today. I think if the Apostle Peter would have realized that his stand for Christ was going to cause him to be crucified upside down, which he was. Peter was crucified upside down. That's how he died. And he said, I am not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. So they crucified him upside down. But it was much time before that the Apostle Peter stood on Pentecost and preached and seen 3,000 people saved. Now, I do not know how bold Peter would have been on Pentecost if God would have said, Peter, you are going to preach on Pentecost, have 3,000 people saved, and it won't be long then they're going to crucify you for taking a stand for Jesus Christ. I think that God was merciful to Peter, and he said, Peter, today I want you to preach on Pentecost. Today I want you to tell them about Jesus. Today I want you to keep some people out of hell. Today I want you to stand for right. Today I want you to preach and give an invitation, and 3,000 people get saved. But Peter, I'm not going to tell you about tomorrow, because I want you to go down in history for being the Peter that made a comeback, and the Peter that did something great for God, and the man that seen 3,000 people saved in one day. Peter said, I'll do it. He preached. 3,000 were saved. And it wasn't long after Peter was in prison and being ready to be crucified. And Peter was able to look back and say, you know something? Got something done back there. But if God would have told Peter about the heartache of the future, it may have stolen Pentecost from the heart of Peter. There are some of you better dig in and you better serve God today. You better get the victories of today. Some of you are just saying, well, I'll get me some victories in the future. You may not have the future. You better get your victories right now. Right now, get your victories. Quit putting off the victory in your life and doing something for God. You see, this thing of the future, I think God knows what He's doing. We don't know our futures. Not most of it. God comes to us and God said, maybe I'm not going to show you the future because I'm just going to leave that for me. I'll leave that in my hands. You just let God be God. You be careful, because to know the future, you may end up knowing burdens that would destroy your today's joys. We're to live by faith, not by sight. If we knew what God had planned for our future, we may try to tamper with that plan. It's easier to follow Him one day at a time. We could then let tomorrow's fears rob and paralyze us from today's victories. Let me say this also. How should you behave since you do not know the future? How are we to behave? We don't know the future. You say, Brother Owens, we're working off of a handicap. It's not a handicap if it's God's plan. You say, if He'd just tell me, I would know what to do with it. Hey, remember, all you have to take care of is today. You take care of today. You live for God today. You bear your burden today. You do right today. You do what God wants today. There's nothing you can do about tomorrow. Tomorrow is in the hands of the Lord. You say, Brother Owens, how am I to live since I don't know what's coming tomorrow? Well, trust God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know something? You say, Brother Owens, the future, what's the future hold? I say, trust God. Hey, listen, God is a good God. God's good all the time. All the time. There's some of you need to settle that. The Bible teaches that God is good. And if you would just settle that God is good, you could find a little haven in your concern about the future, because if you'll just trust God, what are you trusting? You're trusting a God that is good. God is good. If you'll trust Him, He can say, hey, He can take a lot of pressure off your future. Those of you that are a bit frantic with your future, and those of you that you constantly struggle with your insecurities, and you constantly struggle with having courage about life, let me tell you something. There's nothing you can do about tomorrow. Trust God. God's good, and your God is a good God to you as well as to anyone else. Have faith in God. Build your today's faith by obeying the Bible. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But you need to trust God. God knows the future. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust God. Secondly, don't waste today. You say, I want to be prepared for tomorrow. Don't waste today. The best preparation for the future is the now. Don't waste your day. The best way to be spiritually strong tomorrow is to be spiritually strong today. For some of you, you need to shore up your Christian life and get yourself as close to God as you can. A burden is on the horizon. You don't even see it. You're so anemic spiritually. You come to church every once in a while. Well, your day's coming, baby. It's going to hit you like a ton of bricks. You're going to say, I can't take it. God, you're unfair. God was fair every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night when the preaching of the Word of God was going on around here. And we were getting some backbone to the Christians. We were telling them not to put their tail between their legs and run. We've been teaching them how to walk with God, how to be tough, how to stand up and fight like a man. And you wouldn't come and get the strength today for the burden that may be tomorrow, and then you're going to be mad at God when it comes. We were busy around here taking the troops and helping them to be prepared for tomorrow. You say, but you can't see tomorrow. I know, but I know how we have to live today if we're going to survive tomorrow. You better trust God. You better not waste today. Serve God today. You procrastinators. Well, I'm going to show up for soul winning someday. May never come. I'm going to build a bus route someday. May never come. I'm going to get me a Sunday school class someday. Someday may never come. Don't waste today. Win souls. Win people to Jesus Christ today. Fella said to me this week, he said, I was in church last week and I knew I wasn't saved, went through the preaching. Then he came by to see me this week. I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, no. He said, I knew I needed to do it last week. I can't wait till Sunday. I said, you don't have to wait till Sunday. Let's do it right now. He said, good. I wasn't sure I wanted to wait till Sunday. He didn't know he had Sunday, by the way. What am I going to do? How am I going to behave? I don't know the future. What can I do? Well, I need to trust God. I need not to waste the day that God's given me. Hey, there's some of you. You say, what should I do today? Forgive today. Forgive today. I think for the most part, every person in this room, whoever it is that you have a grudge against, or whoever it is you're mad at or you're bitter with, I think that probably you don't plan to stay that way the rest of your life. You're thinking, one of these days I'm going to get that straightened out. You may not have one of these days. You may want to take care of it today. Don't waste today. Somebody here needs to apologize. Today. So we're going to take care of that in the future. Who told you you had the future? Who told you that? Somebody here needs to say the words, I love you, to somebody in your family today. You may not be able to tell them next week. You better trust God today. You better have faith in God today. You better not waste today. I'd say that because we have today and we can't predict the future, we better make good decisions today. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Hey, don't waste your money today. Can I tell you what the American people are going through right now? We went through years of prosperity, 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 prosperity. Spend, spend, spend. Credit, credit, credit. Gas prices, half what the rest of the world pays, and a third in some cases. Money, money, money. Spend, spend, spend. Now, anybody with the brains looking back and saying, I should have saved a little of that I had during the prosperity, because tough times are funny. You say, are you agreeing with the economy? No, I'm examining the economy. That's all. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Somebody here, be sure you're not wasting money today. Hey, there's somebody here, you've robbed God of the tithe, and you say, one of these days I'm going to get around to fixing that. You better pay it back right away. I would hate to go into a depression not right with God financially. You say, are we going into a depression? Oh, I don't know. I'm not an economist. I'm a heavenist. I just believe in the heavenly economy. And that's staying right with God, because your God will not leave you nor forsake you. Hey, you say, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I wouldn't be so busy that you leave God out of your life today. Well, I'm going to get around to that. You've been saying that too long. Somebody needs to get right with God. You say, oh, I've been planning that, preacher. Today. 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 We have today. We have today. We should trust God. And today we should be careful that we don't waste it. We should make good decisions today. Hey, could I recommend something to you, Christian? Enjoy your today. Christians are to be happy people. That does not mean that we're burdenless. Yes, we'll cry our tears. Yes, we'll have our moments. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants you to have the joy of the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Hey, men, listen to me for a minute. Enjoy your family today. Don't just support. Enjoy those that you're supporting. You hear me, men? Don't just support your family. I'm talking about your wife and your children. Don't just support them. Enjoy those that you support. Mamas, enjoy your children. Enjoy them while you have them with you at home. Don't just raise them. Enjoy the children that you're raising. Mother, it is not a 18-year endurance. It's a privilege. Every mama here, you're doing angels' work. You're rearing little boys and girls for Jesus Christ. Not just to slop the food down and say, here, eat it. Enjoy it while you have time with those little ones. I'm going to tell you something. They will come when they'll move out. They'll move away. And you'll wish that just one more time you could clean up the spilled milk from the Fruit Loops. Enjoy it. Enjoy it today. Enjoy it today. Enjoy your family, men. Enjoy your children, mothers. Enjoy your church services. Enjoy what goes on around here. Those of you that come out of duty, why be miserable? Enjoy what God is doing in this place. Enjoy your health. Enjoy your health. Those of you that look at me with two eyes, stop. Enjoy the beauty that you see. You have no guarantee you'll have two eyes next week. Those of you that have both your legs, enjoy them. Enjoy your service to God. Enjoy your Sunday school class today. Hey, enjoy eating corn on the cob today. They may come when your teeth won't do the job. You'll have to borrow someone else's and then glue them in. Enjoy your stinky feet today. They may be gone tomorrow. Folks, America today is not what America was 100 or 200 years ago, but I'll tell you something. You better enjoy your America today. She's changing. She's changing. We'll fight. We'll fight to keep her free and fight to keep her moral, but you better enjoy it. Some of you, all you do is complain about America. Now, a lot of things that go on in America that I disagree with, but it's still the land of the free and the home of the brave. There's still a lot of great men that have given their lives and ladies that have given their lives to keep old glory flowing. This is still one nation under God. I don't care what everybody else says. Well, I think we're still in a majority here. It's just that the minority are such loud mouths. We need to speak up. This is still my country. This is still America. I still love the old red, white, and blue. I still want in God we trust on our coins. I still want people to stand when the national anthem is sung. I want to put my hand on my heart. I still believe in America. And I want to keep enjoying it. Better enjoy it while you got a chance. You better vote while you got a chance. So I just disagree with everything. Yeah, I'm just telling you. You better vote while you've got a chance and enjoy it. Enjoy today. But you know something? Let me give you some good news. There are some things that we can know about our future. You see, we're not totally in the blind about the future. For instance, let me tell you something about the future. Let me tell you about tomorrow. I'm going to guarantee everybody something about tomorrow. Brother Smith, I can't tell you a lot about your tomorrow, but I can tell you one thing that's going to help you through tomorrow. When you get there, God will already be there. Oh, I like that. Tomorrow scares me too. There's one thing I know. My God is going with me. In the military, when they're going into an area where they're not sure where the enemy is and they're scouting it out, they have a man that they put up front. Anybody know what they call the man that's up front? Point man. Guess who my point man is in the war? God. I got me a point man that can't be destroyed. He goes ahead of me. There was a family that I spoke to recently, and they live in a distant state, and their church is virtually crumbling and leaving the faith, and they called me and said, I'm thinking about going to this other church, and said the pastor is in his mid-60s, and said, I fear going there because the pastor, he won't be my pastor for long, and I want to rear my family there. He said, Brother Owens, he said, you're in your middle 40s. He said, are you there in Martinsburg to stay? I said, well, that's the plan. I don't plan on going anywhere. He said, that brings me security. I said, brother, let me give you even more security. God ain't going nowhere. God's already there in the future. See, I've got good news for you. We don't know. We don't know about our belongings. Folks, I'm just telling you, we work hard. And you know, we use a lot of common sense around here. I tell everybody, let's get ready for retirement. Let's pay our bills. Let's make good common sense about our finances. And I want you to do that. But I got to tell you, we just don't know what tomorrow holds. You could have it today and it could all be gone tomorrow. Ask Enron. You just don't know. But I do have good news. Whatever is in tomorrow, God's already there. I think I want to stay close to the point man. I want to stay close to the one that holds my future. He's my security, you see. Give you another good piece of news about tomorrow that I'm sure of. Tomorrow, this old black book will still be God's word. It'll still be true. You say, what's everybody going to believe tomorrow? What's all the computer science going to yield? Hey, what's going to happen in the world of biology and the cloning and all that? I don't know what's going to happen, but one thing I can tell you for sure, we've got an old black book called the King James Bible. It is our textbook. It's not changing. God has promised to give us a book that He would preserve. He's inspired it. Thank God I know I've got a book that can guide me through tomorrow. We'll have help. The Bible will still be true. Can I tell you something? I'd get to living it today because it's the only sure thing about your tomorrow. I'd live the Bible today. Why? It's sure for tomorrow. See, there are some things I can know about the future. I can know that God's there to help me. I can know that the Bible's going to be true. Hey, listen, for the saved, you say, what's tomorrow hold? I don't know. Life? I don't know. Death? I don't know. But if it's death for the saved, the worst thing that's ever going to happen to you is going to happen in this life. The moment you die, things get real good real fast. The worst thing that happens to the saved happens down here. The moment we die, we open our eyes in glory, it gets real, real good. And so, if you're saved, you say, I fear death. No need. I'm going to do nothing but get better. Now, if you're not saved, tomorrow holds hell unless you get saved. If you're not saved, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the best you'll ever experience is this life. Because the minute you die, you think what you went through here was tough? You ain't seen nothing yet. It's all downhill after death for the lost. It's all uphill after death for the saved. And I'll tell you this also. I would rather live the life of the saved than to live the life of the lost, even if there wasn't a heaven and a hell. Because the life of the saved is a better life in general. You say, well, I'm lost and I'm going to hell, so I think I'll live it up before I go. You won't feel that way when you get into hell, but your life is crummier as a lost person living outside of Christ. And it'll stay that way unless you get saved. But let me tell you again, even if there wasn't a heaven or a hell, I'd still want to live the Christian life. Because it's a happier life. It's just a happier life. The future. The future. There he was. In jail. Paul was concerned about the people in Philippi. He said, I want you to remember Jesus and uphold Jesus. And I'm going to try to send Timothy to help you. And then Paul, we see that humanity slip out where Paul said, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And I think Paul, the preacher, said, I'm not real sure about what's going to happen to me tomorrow. We're all that way. But if you've listened today, I've tried to help you with the future. Don't let the future steal your today, your joys, your victories, and your securities. Say, but what's there? God. Take it by faith, and you just take care of today, and God will take care of tomorrow. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please get saved today. The greatest thing you could do for your tomorrow is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. And I'm not talking about getting religion, and I'm not talking about joining the church or giving your money. I'm not talking about doing good deeds. I'm talking about trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. That's what I need. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not born again, but I want to be. I want to be. I want to get saved. I want to know I've got heaven for sure. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I need. You say, I need to be born again. Good, I've seen a hand. Somebody else, you say, I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. I need to know that heaven is in the future for me. Boy, that'll calm your future. Who else? I've seen a hand. Anyone else? You say, I'm not saved. Let me ask this question. How many of you would, by uplifted hand, testify in the sight of God, You say, I am saved. If I died today, I know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I won't lie in church, won't lie to God, won't lie to myself. If I died today, I'm sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? That's me. You may put your hand down. If you did not raise your hand, thank you for your honesty. Maybe I would take